1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. All right, those verses say, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Two of the verses we've had in our memory pack for a while and been working on in days gone by. But you know, every Sunday night, those of you who don't come Sunday nights, you may not know this, but every Sunday night we have a Bible quiz. And we have a lot of fun. Everybody enjoys it. It's not just a fun time, but it's also a learning time. And I'm really rejoicing in the fact that many of you are learning many things that you didn't know even from just reviewing those quiz questions and having our little Bible knowledge test. But you know, that's one kind of a Bible test. But this morning we're going to be looking at another kind of a Bible test. And that is a test that God commands each of us to do every time we make a choice in life. And life is full of choices. We make choices all day long, every day we make choices. And God wants us to make choices that are biblical choices. God wants us to make choices that are right. And so each of us have to run the Bible test to determine what choices are right and what are wrong. And this morning, the Bible test that we're going to be looking at contains three commands that God has designed to help us to be able to make choices that will honor Him. And we're going to look at those three commands that He gives us this morning. The first command is in the very first part of the first verse. It says, prove all things. Prove all things. Now, to prove means to test. It has the idea of examining something to see whether it is worthy, to see whether it will pass an examination, to pass the test. Thayer's Greek dictionary defines the word prove as follows. He said it means to test, to examine, to prove, to scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not, as of metals. Number two, he says, it is to recognize as genuine after examination, to approve, to deem worthy. So it is not just testing something, but it is to test it to see whether it is worthy after we've examined it. And so that is the idea of it. Many times I have used the illustration, and I shall do it again this morning because it fits so well, the illustration of how you ladies would go into the fridge, find an old jar that's been in the back of the fridge for months and you forgot it was there, and you pull it out and you examine the contents. Us guys might be not quite as careful as you. Sometimes I've done stupid things. You just grab it out of there and say, well, yeah, this is what I wanted. And you don't even look at it. You don't smell it. You just pour it in and you start heating it up to cook. That's not what a lady does. A lady, well, she'll take that jar out and she'll maybe look at the use-by date. Oh, well, it was 6 months ago. Oh, well, that's not real good. All right, and then you look at the appearance of it. Well, it's green and fuzzy, but maybe it's still okay. All right, so you look at the appearance of it, and then you listen to the sound when you open it. You open it and go, bah! You know, oh, that didn't sound real good. All right, and so then you look at the color. You know, you see, oh, that's not the color it used to be. And then you'll take the cap off slowly. You smell it. You say, oh, doesn't smell good either. All right, and so you're examining all these things. And then if you're real brave and maybe it's passed most of those tests, you'll dip a little spoon and just taste a little tiny bit of it. All right, those are all tests. Now, if it passes the test, you'll say, yep, it's still good. We'll eat it. If it doesn't pass the test, you say, no, throw it in the bin. All right, it didn't pass. All right, it didn't pass. It was wrong color, wrong smell, wrong taste. It's out of date. It's no good. Throw it away. All right, that's one way of testing. And that's the kind of testing that Paul's talking about here, of examining something to see whether it is good or whether it is not. Another way of testing is to use a sifter. This is my garden sifter. All right, now, to use a sifter like this, I put my dirt in there and shake the sifter, and all the fine sands and dirt comes out the bottom, and all the junk stays in the top. And you take the junk, throw it out, because it didn't go through the sifter. And you know, there's a sense in which the Bible is like a sifter. We're to sift all that we do through the Scriptures and say, does it pass God's test? If it does, good, I'll take that. If it doesn't pass God's test, we throw it out. All right? Now, that's what God wants us to do, and that's what He's talking about here with this testing. And so, one of the things to remember, too, is testing has different standards. For example, of all you ladies here, I know that in a group of ladies of this many in the room, each of you would have a different standard. You know, some of you might look at it and say, well, it's a week out of date, and you might panic and immediately throw it away. Then others of you would take it and say, well, lots of things are a little over date. It doesn't hurt a thing. So you just ignore that. Some of you may look at it, and it's not quite the same color as it used to be, but it smells good, tastes good, so you eat it anyway. So everybody's got a little bit of a different standard as to what you're going to evaluate according to. The same thing is true with our sifters. My sifter's got some pretty small holes in it. You might have another sifter that's got bigger holes in it. So if you've got bigger holes in yours and you sift your thing, you're going to get bigger stuff coming out the bottom than I will. Other sifters may be finer than this, and you might not get as much as I would get out of it through my sifter. So every sifter has a different standard. But you know, as Christians, God tells us that the thing that we need to use as our standard for evaluating the things that we will do in this life is the Bible. The Bible is to be our standard. The Bible is to be our guide, that which determines what is right and wrong. And the Bible is our standard because the Bible is God's book. All right? This is God's word. It's not my word. It's not, you know, Baptist word. It's God's word. And so the Bible is to be our standard as to what we will do and what we won't do. So we need to examine the Scriptures. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God inspired it. He gave it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So he's saying here that God gave us His Word to guide us, to make us perfect. The word perfect there means to be complete. He gave us the Word to make us complete, that we may be thoroughly furnished, totally ready for everything God wants us to do. So the Bible is our guide, and our standard must not be our opinion. You know, there's a lot of times when you say, well, I don't really see anything wrong with that. Well, it really doesn't matter what I think. What's God say about it? Sometimes we'll say, well, everybody's doing it. Popularity doesn't make it right. There's a lot of things that our people in our society do that God says is wrong. So we can't base it on popularity. We can't base it on society. Just because the social approvals of our culture say something's good or bad, that's not our standard. We may say, well, you know, there's other Christians in our church who do that, so it must be okay. Just because somebody else does it, and they might be a Christian, that doesn't make it right. You've got to determine in your own heart, every one of us, God says, I want you to prove all things. I've got to prove everything I do. You have to prove everything you do. And you children need to prove the things that you do. As you know, you need to follow your parents' guidance, but you also need to prove things yourself. Once you get older, the older you get, you need to take that Bible sieve and sift everything through it to make sure that it passes God's inspection, not just your opinion, not just what everybody else is doing. We've got to make sure it passes God's inspection. Now, since the Bible is our standard for testing, the better you know the Bible, the better you'll be able to test. I mean, that's just logical. And so we need to get into the Bible. We need to study the Bible every day. You know, the more you study this book and the more you learn about this book, the easier it will be to sift things in life, because you'll know more about it. You'll build up that database in your mind that is helping you to determine, is it right or is it wrong? What does God say about this? And you know much more about what God says, so it'll make it much easier to sift it through. And so we need to study the Bible. We need to meditate on the principles that are found in the Bible. You know, the principles, what's the difference between a principle and a command? It's good to think through this thing. Now, a command is something God says, thou shalt do this. Do this. Don't do this. I want you to do this. Read your Bible. Study the Bible. You know, those are commands. Those are things that we don't have to say, well, I don't know whether that's what God really meant or no, if God said it, He meant it. All right? So that's pretty clear. But there's principles in the Bible as well. You can find principles based on lots of different things. There's principles in the book of Proverbs, loads of principles in Proverbs. There's also principles that come from people's lives. For example, you look at a person's life and you see how God blessed them because He did this and this and this. You say, there's a principle there. If I did these things, God would probably bless me too. Right? You look at like Joseph's life, and Joseph fled away from temptation, and he stayed close to God, and God blessed him. You say, oh, if I stay away from temptation and I stay close to God, God's going to be able to bless me. You look at Jonah's life. Jonah ran away from God. When God said, Jonah, why don't you go preach to the people in Nineveh? And Jonah says, forget it, I'm going the other direction. And what happened to Jonah? He ended up all kinds of problems. So you can say, all right, there's a principle there. If I run away from God and don't do what God wants me to do, I'm going to head for trouble. Right? Those are principles. So all through the Bible, there are principles. And the better you know the Word, the better you'll know the principles. See, even knowing the stories in the Bible, many times parents teach to the children their Bible stories. And it's good that children know the Bible stories, but do they know principles that go with the story? Just because the kid knows that the story of David and Goliath, and he knows the story of Jonah and the whale, that's nice that he knows the story, but does he know anything about why the story's in the Bible? What's the story teaching us? What can we learn from the story? What are the things that should change in my life because of this story? See, those are principles, and the principles are far more important than the facts themselves many times, because the principles are what we live by. The story is just what we are entertained by or get the information from. And so we need to meditate on the principles of the Bible. We can learn from the mistakes of Bible characters. You know, you see people that made mistakes. They blew it. Recently, we talked about a man named Gehazi. Gehazi was a man who was Elisha's servant that wanted the treasures that Naaman brought for Elisha when he healed him of his leprosy. And he was greedy and went after that and said, I'm going to go get some of that for myself. And what happened to him? He got leprosy because he was greedy. We can learn a lesson from that. Very important lesson. You think of Peter, when Peter denied Jesus. Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll stay by you to the death. Just hours later, he said, I don't even know the man. And then when Christ looked at him, Peter remembered what Jesus said. And Peter turned away, ran outside, and wept bitterly. Now, we can learn from that. That all of us are weak, just like Peter. And we're quick to say, I won't, I'll be strong. And then temptation comes and we fall on our face. So we can learn from the experiences of others, but you've got to know the Bible. Because if you don't know it, you don't have those things in your database. And so it's important to know these things. We need to know carefully how God responds to good and bad choices of Bible characters. How did God respond when Moses struck the rock? God said, okay, Moses, you disobeyed me. Yeah, God did send water out of the rock. But what happened? God says, Moses, you can't go into the promised land now. See? And so we can see, we learn from the principles here. So all through the Bible are full of principles. We also need to consider God's holiness. You know, many of our choices deal with whether something is right or wrong. And we need to ask ourselves, what does God think about this situation? What does God think about this clothing I want to wear? What does God think about this movie I'm going to watch? What does God think about the music that I'm going to listen to? What is God's opinion of these things? And we need to ask ourselves, and we need to know the holiness of God in order to understand God's perspective. Because many times we think God's kind of like me. No, I'm supposed to be like God. God is perfect. God is holy. God makes no mistakes. He's always right. He's always sinless. He never does wrong. And we've got to base it on what God wants, not on what we want. So let's just remember, what is our standard? What is our authority? It is the Bible. The Bible is our sieve. The Bible is the sieve that we sift everything through, that we sift everything through in life, every choice, every decision. Should I go to that thing? Should I do this? Is this the right priorities that I should have? Is this the kind of activity that I should have my kids involved in? Is this the kind of friends that I should have? Should sift this through the Bible and say, God, what do you say about friends? What do you say about these activities? God, what's the Bible say about these things? What principles are in there that I can sift through this to see whether I can, this is right or wrong? So everything we do needs to go through the Bible, because the Bible is to be our guide. It's to be our authority. Now, using the Bible as our authority, here are some questions that we can ask that will help us test choices in life. The very first test question is a very obvious one. Does God address this choice in the Bible? That's what we want to know. All right, so you've got the situation, you know, that you're invited to, let's just say you're invited to a party where you know there's going to be drinking and swearing, and it's just not going to be, it's going to have that kind of an atmosphere. What's God say about that? Does God have anything to say about that? So you start going through the Bible, and if you don't have a good database, then you got to start digging. All right, get out your computer and look up your Bible program and start searching for things like alcohol, drinking, and associations, and things of that nature. You need to ask yourself, what did God say? You come across verses like Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You come across verses like Habakkuk 2:15, where God says that woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth the bottle to him that makes him drunken also. See, God has something to say about these kind of things. And so we need to ask ourselves, and we sift it through the Bible and say, God, is that the kind of an atmosphere you want me in? And if not, throw it overboard and say, nope, not going to do that one. All right? And so you need to run everything through the Scriptures. Now, also, the Bible has principles that deal with choices. I've got 8 principles. Now, many of us who attend on Wednesday night, about 2 years ago, we went through these 8 principles one by one. It was really helpful. I really enjoyed that. And I'll do it again one of these days. But the 8 principles that will help you in making choices. The first principle is an association principle. The association principle is when we ask ourselves, could doing this be a bad testimony? Could doing this be a bad testimony? And I used an example of getting a drink at the tavern. I could go there and get a glass of water. And I don't drink alcohol. I don't want alcohol. I can't stand it. It stinks. I'm not interested in it. But if I went to the tavern to get a drink of water and you saw me go into the tavern to get a drink of water, would you think, oh, pastor's going to the tavern to get a drink of water? That's not what you normally think of when somebody goes into the tavern. They're going there for alcohol, not for a drink of water. So there's a bad association. Not the kind of place that I should go to get a drink of water. All right? Might better go knock on somebody's door and say, I'm thirsty, can I please have a drink of water? That'd be better than going to the tavern and get it because of the association principle. Another principle is the offense principle. Could this cause someone else to stumble? Could me doing this, it won't hurt me, but could me doing this hurt someone else? I might be strong enough to handle the situation, but would it hurt somebody else? Same thing with the tavern would work with this one. You know, I might be able to be strong enough to go in there and say, please give me a glass of water, drink the water, and head out the door quick, because I don't like the place. But somebody else might go in there and get a drink of water and say, oh boy, I remember the old days. Oh, forget the water, fill it up with something else. All right? And it hurts them, caused them to stumble. It wouldn't hurt me, but it wouldn't be a good idea, because I might be strong, but they're not. And so the offense principle is to stay away from things that could cause someone to stumble. There's a wedge principle. Wedge. You ever use a wedge? When I was a boy, we used to chop wood. And one of the things we use for chopping wood is a wedge. So you chop your axe in there, get a little crack in it, and then you take a wedge and put it in. The wedge was pointed like a V. You put it in that hole, and then you take your big hammer, and wham, wham, wham. And as the wedge went in, what happened? The hole got bigger until it would break the log in half. All right? And the wedge principle is, could this make it easier for me to sin? Could by doing this thing make it easier for me to sin later on? It might not be all that bad right now. It's just a teeny bit maybe questionable right now. But if I do that, then it's making me a little closer to sin, a little closer to sin, a little closer to sin. And before long, all of a sudden, it breaks up into something bad. And if it could, I need to stay away from it. Even though right now it might seem like it's no big deal. But it could evolve into something that is a big deal. Stay away from it. God says, throw it overboard. It doesn't pass the test. All right? Another one is the doubt principle. Is it doubtful? Is it doubtful that it really pleases God? If you're going to do something, you say, well, I think it's okay, and as far as I can tell, it's okay, and most of my friends do it, and a lot of people at church do it. I think it's okay, but I have a little tiny bit of doubt in the back of my mind whether it pleases God. Well, God says, if you're in doubt, don't do it. Bottom line. So if you're sifting it through the Bible and say, I just got a little bit of doubt, God says, nope, don't do it. Throw it overboard. All right? You don't need to do that. There's lots of things in life we can do without doing things that are doubtful. So the doubt principle. Another principle is the edification principle. Is this going to build me up or could it possibly pull me down? If it's going to build me up, that's good. But if it could possibly pull me down, throw it overboard. We don't need that one either. I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt me spiritually. Another thing, here's a good one. Is it the best choice? The best choice principle. The best choice. You know, there's lots of choices in life. you know, you could do A or B, and both of them are kind of okay, but which one is the best choice in God's sight? What would God say would be the really best thing for me to do? This one or this one? Well, yeah, probably this one. All right? And so you take, yeah, I will take A, throw out B, because that one's no good. And but might not be terrible, but it's not the best choice for me. So we'll throw that one out. And then there's the distinction principle. You know, all through the Bible, God talks about being holy and unholy. God talks about distinction right from the book of Genesis chapter 1. And when God created Adam, and in Genesis chapter 2, God created Eve. There was the distinction. God made a clear difference between the male and the female. God made a clear difference between holy and unholy. God makes a clear difference between sin and goodness. And all through the Bible, there's a distinction. And anytime we narrow that distinction or try to muddy that distinction and say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, that's not right. You know, we live in a world today where the gender distinction is being muddled. You know, it's fine for, you know, the ladies dress like men and the men trying to dress like ladies, and the men have earrings and they grow all their long hair and the girls chop off their hair. Everyone wants to look alike. God said, wait a minute. I created them distinct, male and female. We should do our best as Christians to live distinctly different because that's the way God created us. And so the distinction principle will help us. Then there's the last one, is number 8, is the glorification principle. Does it glorify God? Does this glorify God? You know, this choice that I made, I've gone through all these things, yeah, passes all those things, but really, deep down, does it glorify God? Will it honor Him? Will He be the one that is praised? Will He be the one that is lifted up because I went to this thing, or I did this thing, or I dressed this way, or I watched this thing, or I went? Will God be praised and lifted up? And if not, then maybe it's one of those things that are stuck inside. We need to just throw it overboard and say, nope, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that one. We'll just do something else. All right? And so these are principles. Now, these are just some ideas that will help you to be able to make those choices in life. Now, sometimes, no question about it, I run into this problem too. Sometimes it's hard to know what God wants. It seems to pass all the tests. You shake it through the Bible the best you can and say, boy, I just can't find anything in there that really gives me an answer. I don't know. Is this what God wants me to do, or is not what God wants me to do? You know, it's times like that when we really need to get on our knees before God and just pray. James chapter 1, verse number 5 tells us there, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it should be given him. God says, you come and ask me for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. It reminds me, just yesterday or day before, I guess it was, I was reading in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3 when Solomon asked God. God says, Solomon, I'll give you whatever you want. What do you want, Solomon? And Solomon said, God, I'm young and I'm the king of the nation of Israel and I need wisdom. I need to know your mind. Would you please give me an understanding heart to be able to judge your people properly? And God said, Solomon, I'm pleased with your request. You could have asked me for riches, and I would have given it to you. But you asked for wisdom. That's a far better choice. So, Solomon, here's what I'm going to do. I'll give you all the wisdom, more wisdom than anybody else has ever had, but I'll also give you riches. And you know, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Now, I wish I could say that all through Solomon's life, he used his wisdom wisely, but he didn't. He had the wisdom, but he didn't always use it. He sometimes lived without his wisdom, even though he had the wisdom. And he made foolish choices because he ignored the wisdom God gave him. But he was a very, very wise man. And God gave it to him. Why? Because he asked God for it. So when we need wisdom to make a right choice, we can come to God and say, God, would you please help me? I want to do what glorifies you. Now listen, what do you think? If you are trying to make a choice in life, maybe something, should we let the kids do this? Should we go to this activity? Should we watch this thing? Should we listen to that? Should I dress like this? If you get down on your knees before God and say, God, you are the great God of the universe. And I love you, God. And I want more than anything else to please you. Would you please help me to make the right choice in this decision? You know, if you do that, what do you think God's going to do? My thinking is, if you do that, God's going to say, all right, I'm going to tell them what they want. I'm going to tell them what they need. I'll answer their prayer. You know, God's not up there just trying to see if we'll mess things up. He wants to help us, especially when we ask for it. And if you ask God, I believe with all my heart that God will help you to make the right choice. But we need to do that. And then he goes on and he says that we are to test all things. Notice that verse again. He says, prove all things. Not all. That's a really hard word to figure out, isn't it? All right? It simply means every single piece. All. That's pretty basic. It just means it's a comprehensive thing. There's no exceptions. It means every single thing. Now, let's do something I don't usually do on Sunday morning. All right? Sunday nights I often do, but Sunday morning I don't. I want you to give me some feedback. All right? What are some things? I've already mentioned a few things. But what are some things you can think of in life that we're going to need to test? What are some things you can think of that we need to test in life?
Where we go.
All right, places we go.
What we wear.
Things we wear.
People.
Okay, our friends. Anything else? Come on, cowards. Raise your hand. Oh, you're not used to doing these things. The things we listen to. All right, since none of you want to participate, or the rest of you don't want to participate, here's some of the things I have. All right, TV shows, videos, music, reading materials, internet sites, activities, clothing, words that we use, friends, places we go, attitudes, type of job you may choose, the doubtful things, our doctrines, all these kind of things are all things we need to sift through the Word. We need to say, God, what is your mind? I need to know what your thoughts are on this. God, what is your teaching on this thing? What about this doctrine, Lord? What's the Bible say about it? And sift it through the Word. Sift it through the Word. Everything in life. When God says, I want you to prove all things, He means everything you do. Every single day. We need to be talking to God. Communication. You know, communication is probably one of the things that we struggle with more than anything else. Communication just doesn't mean that, you know, like communication in a family between husband and wife. It doesn't mean pass the salt, give me a piece of that, we'll see you tomorrow. That's not communication. I'm talking about everything. You know, it blows my mind when I see some couples that you talk to the husband and say, what do you guys plan to do? I don't know. I haven't talked to the wife yet. And you talk to her, what do you plan? I don't know. I haven't talked to the husband. You know? Does your wife know you're going to do this? No, I haven't told her. Oh, come on, guys. Work teams, work together, communicate, talk about everything you do. And the same thing is true with God. When we communicate with God, God wants to talk about everything we do. You get up in the morning, you go on your walk, talk to God while you're on your walk. And talk to God about the things you're going to do. Talk to God about what you're going to buy. Talk to God about what you need to do through the day. Talk to God about how to discipline the children. Talk to God about how to answer this problem at work. Talk to God about every single thing we do. Sift it through the Word of God and say, God, you got to help me to make the right choice. Help me to make the right business choice. Help me to make the right choice with the kids. Help me to make the right choice with my relationship with my spouse. Lord, everything. Sift it through the Bible. Everything needs to go through this grid of God. Then the second command that God gave us, and we'll move on here, is to hold fast that which is good. Hold fast that which is good. The word good there refers to the things that pass through the sieve. Okay? All that went through it, that's the good part down here. All right? That's the good. All that didn't go through it's the stuff that's still in the sieve. So you're sifting it through the Bible sieve, and the things that go through, and say, yep, that movie, there's nothing wrong with it. There's no swearing in it. There's no alcohol. There's no smoking. It's not a bad thing. It's teaching us good principles. That will be wholesome and helpful. Yep, we'll take that one. It passed through the Bible grid. And so he talks about that which is good. That which is good. It passes the examination. God did not forbid it. There's nothing I can find. It's principles that are against it. And I've gone through these principles, the association principle, the wedge principle, the doubt principle, the edification. And all of them seem to pass. And so, yes, I believe that that will work for us. That will please God. That will glorify God. We'll do that one. Or I'll wear that because it passed the inspection. Or whatever the situation may be. We put the principles into action. Now, what I'm about to say is very important. Be very careful what you say is good. Here's why. God condemns those who call good evil and evil good. And so we need to be very careful that we evaluate the test accurately. For example, we read in Isaiah 5, verse 20, God said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitter." What is God saying? He said, if I call it good and God called it bad, I'm in big trouble. So I better make sure that what I call good and I say went through the sieve of the Bible, it really went through the sieve. It was really good. Because if I call it good and it didn't go through and I claim that it's good, God's going to say, I am not pleased with that. You called good evil and evil good. And God says, woe unto them that do that. When God says woe, that means you're in trouble. I'm in big trouble. All right? Woe unto them that do that. So we need to be very careful that we make sure that we've evaluated things accurately. Now we must hold fast that which is good. The word hold fast means to grab on and hang on tight. Hold it fast. Don't let it go. Keep it secure. And hold a firm grip on it. Now the devil wants us to let go of all that God calls good. So God's called it good, and the devil says, you don't want to do that. You don't want to dress like that. Don't let weirdos do that. Don't do that. Oh, come on. Everybody's going to laugh. You're going to look like the weirdo in the world. You don't want to do that. The devil's trying his best to get us to reject what God calls good. The devil wants to say, look at all that stuff that you were going to throw out. Now that's the stuff in life that are really going to make you happy. You'll have fun with that. The devil's a liar. He's trying to get us to take the bad and reject the good. God says, no, don't do that. Hold on the good, reject the bad. Hold on the good. And peer pressure and worldly fashions are going to make it difficult to keep the good. It's going to make it difficult to hold on that which is right and good because everybody else is doing the opposite. But we've got to hang on to that which is good. Our sinful nature makes it difficult to hold on to that which is good. Let's face it, we got a sinful nature. My sinful nature doesn't always like what God wants. But we've got to say no to our flesh and yes to God. And we need to do what God wants. Hold fast that which is good. Hang on tight to what is good. Don't let it go. And don't believe the lies of the devil. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, be steadfast. Be unmovable. And that's what God wants when it comes to good. To hold on tight and be steadfast. As a preacher of years gone by said, do right till the stars fall. You know, that's pretty good advice. Do right till the stars fall. When are the stars going to fall? Not until far into the future when God destroys the world. And he says, do right until then. Hang on to what's right and do right. Do what's good. Do what passes the test. Do only the things that pass the test. The rest of it, don't do. Don't do. And so, he's giving us the second command. Now the third command. The third command is in verse 22. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, the appearance of evil. All that appears to be evil doesn't pass God's test. So I've sifted it through the Bible, and there's still, I think, that's my favorite thing to do. I like that. I'll shake it some more. Maybe it'll go through. I like that song. God says abstain from all appearance of evil. If it doesn't pass God's test, throw it out. Throw it out. Now, God didn't say, listen, if it didn't pass God's test, put it on eBay. Get rid of it. No, God said, destroy it. If it doesn't pass God's test for you, it's not going to pass God's test for somebody else. All right? It's not right for us to take something that's evil, something that's not right, and sell it or give it to somebody else to corrupt them. If it wasn't right for you, it's not right for them either. God says, get rid of it. Destroy it. It's not going to be any good for anybody else. That's why when a young person, God convicts them of their rock music and they get rid of the rock music and say, I'm going to stop listening to the rock music. The right thing to do is to smash it. Destroy it. Don't sell it. Don't give it to your friends. Don't give it to somebody. No, it'll corrupt them. Get rid of it. Destroy it. And that's the same thing in everything in life. If it doesn't pass God's test, God said that we're not to do it. Now, he says if it appears to be evil. Now, the appearance here deals with the external and outward appearance of something. So even if it looks good, you say, but I thought that was good. It looks so nice. Everybody else is doing it. I thought it was okay. I've been doing that for a long time. I didn't know that was wrong. God, what's wrong with that? It looks like... But God says, even if it appears to be evil in a little way, it's not good. Now, I've had Christians tell me something like this. They'd say, I don't care what people think of what I do. God knows my heart. Now, that might sound pious on the outside, but it's wrong. Because this verse says, if it appears to be evil, throw it out. God didn't say if it appears to be evil, and the neighbor sees it and he thinks it might be evil, too bad. If he doesn't like it, I answer to God. God knows my heart. If he doesn't like the way I live, too bad. That's not what God says. We're to live not to impress others, but we are to live our life in a way that won't offend others and won't hurt the cause of Christ. And that temptation to say, well, I don't care what other people say, is a wrong thinking. It's not right. God says if it appears to be evil, throw it out. Don't hang on it if it appears to be evil. We need to get rid of those things that are not right that appear to be evil. They fail the Bible test. Now, God says abstain from that. The word abstain means to hold oneself off from something, to refrain from it. Say, I'm not going near that. God said, we're to treat it like it's got the plague. You know, if there was some deadly plague going through, and thank the Lord we haven't had anything like that for many years, but, you know, in years gone by when there was the Black Plague in Europe and things like that, and somebody knew that they had the Black Plague in their house, you didn't go over there and have a cup of tea with them. You'd say, I'm staying away from them. Because they got the plague, and if I go over there, I'll get the plague. I don't want that. You stay away from it. And God says, that's what we're to do with this. We're to stay away from anything that appears to be evil. Just run away from it. Don't go close to it, because it could hurt you if you do. God says, abstain from it. Push it away. Don't do it. Now, Satan, again, he's going to say, oh, come on. You know, and he'll want us to make excuses. Say, well, you know, I've had that music for a long time. I'll just put it in the bottom drawer, just in case. No. Or maybe somebody's trying to get over cigarettes. And say, I know, God doesn't want me to smoke, but that one pack, I'll just hide it in the shed. And just in case. No. No. God says abstain from it. Get rid of it. Because if you hold on it, you'll fall back into it. Satan said, make some excuses. You know, he wants you to think, well, we need to be like everybody else. Everybody else is doing it. I don't want to be weird. And he'll tell us, you know, just once won't hurt. Just once won't hurt. That's one of his biggest lies. He comes to teenagers and say, just once won't hurt. Just once is what caught him into the trap. Now they're drug addicts, or now they're pregnant, or now they're in trouble with the law or some other problem. Because just once won't hurt. Just once will hurt. Just once will hurt. Don't believe the devil. He's against us. He'll hurt us. He'll hurt you. Don't believe him. He's against us in every way. God says abstain. Abstain. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rages and is confident. God says a wise man fears and departs from evil. The wise man says, listen, it didn't pass God's test. I'm afraid of that. I got to get rid of that stuff quick before it hurts me. He fears and he gets rid of it, runs from it, because he knows it could hurt him. He doesn't toy with it. He doesn't play with it. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't say, well, look, God, let's have a word of prayer about this, God, because I just, you know, I don't want to get rid of these things, God. These things cost me a fortune. I don't want, or God, everybody's doing this. I want it, God, please. It's not something to pray about. If it didn't pass God's test, it goes overboard. It's not good. It'll hurt us. So we need to destroy it. Get rid of it. Destroy it. And if in doubt, don't. You know, we've all heard that old saying, if in doubt, don't. If in doubt, don't. That is true in every area of life. If you're doubtful that it's pleasing to God, then don't do it. And so God has given us these three commands that we've looked at this morning. God said, prove all things. Number two, he says, hold fast that which is good. Number three, he says, abstain from all that appears to be evil. Abstain. Now this morning, as you look at these things, every one of us struggle in life. I do too. Making decisions. This afternoon, you'll have decisions to make. Tomorrow, you're going to have decisions to make. And you're going to have to sift them through the Bible. What would God want me to do? What would God do if He was here? What would Jesus do? That's a good thing that'll help many times when you're in question. You say, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus wear this? Would Jesus go there? Would Jesus say that? Would Jesus be like that? Would that the attitude Jesus would have? That'll help you many times because we kind of know in the back of our mind what Jesus would do. Well, that helps us to figure it out right away. But if it doesn't pass the test and you carefully sift it through the Bible and you know it doesn't pass the test, let's stop making excuses. Let's stop saying, well, you know, I know, but maybe one of these days, you know, if I was a spiritual hero like, you know, some people, then maybe I could do that. But I'm not that good yet. Don't make excuses. Let's just say if it doesn't pass God's test, throw it out. Get rid of it. Don't do it. It doesn't matter what it cost us or what it might hurt or what people might say or what, you know, what's going to happen. That's not the point. If it doesn't please God, it's not worth it. Get rid of it. Don't do it. It might be an attitude. It might be something you normally say. It might be something you think. It might be some place you go. It might be your music. It might be your videos. It might be your television. It might be your friends. It might be your something else in your life. Anything. God says sift it all through the Word. If it doesn't go through the sifter of the Word of God, throw it out. And God says that's what we've got to do. And so my challenge to you this morning is, you think about your life. Maybe there's some decisions that you know you've already made, and you know deep down inside that that decision really wouldn't have passed God's inspection. Then what you need to do is, you need to right now say, God, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have made that choice. Please forgive me. And do everything you can to change the wrong you did right now. And then the choices that come up in the future, evaluate everyone through the Bible. You know, sometimes you may come across somebody and say, but I just don't know. I've tried to find stuff in the Bible to talk about this. I just don't know where to look. All right, in times like that, come and ask me. I'm not going to tell you the answer for you, but I can help you find verses. And I can give you Bible verses and say, well, God said this, this, and this, and this. You go home and pray about it and evaluate what God said. You make your own choice because you've got to make your choice, but not me. But I can give you some helpful verses and helpful tips that will help you in making that choice. But you've got to make the choice. But let's not make excuses. Let's do what God wants. Hold fast that which is good. Hang on tight. And abstain from all that God says is bad. Throw it out. Don't do it.